Chapter 9. Harsh Words. Ultramar. The last time he had awaited the arrival of the lion, Rabuta Gilliman had been filled with concerns of a different kind. The Primarch of the Dark Angels had arrived with all of the ceremony and grandiosity that befitted his station, and Gilliman had stood upon the eve of the great proclamation of Imperium Secundus. On that occasion, the lion had made a great display of his arrival, descending upon Magna Macrag Civitas with all the spectacle of a compliance action. The Primarch of the Dark Angels had made every effort to impress upon anyone that witnessed their arrival that they were the first legion, the finest. Flawlessly choreographed and executed manoeuvres had brought dozens of dropships to the plaza of the Marshall Square, a show of force as well as precision. This time, there was no showing off. The void shields and defence screens of the city momentarily flickered apart to allow the ingress of a lone stormbird. As they powered back into life above it, gold glinted briefly along the gunship's flank. Uncertainty had marked that historic day, an uncertainty that the lion had also felt, the Primarch had later revealed. As the Lord of the First had made his entrance, his fleet had been stood at the ready, with drop pods and gunships prepared to invade Macrag at a single command. Such was the trust the lion held for his brothers. Gilliman wondered if the lion had taken similar precautions again. The Lord Warden was in no mood for his brother's suspicious nature. He took a breath and slowly let it go, creating a small cloud in the winter air. It was chill atop the principal landing dock of Hera's Gate, but it afforded a view across almost the entirety of the Civitas. The Lord of Caliban had certainly shown little enough regard for his brother Primarchs on this occasion. Tasked with bringing the lion back to Macrag following the incident at Sotha, Gilliman had tried the beacon, astropaths, and even conventional transmissions to contact his brother, with no success. That the lion had returned now might be coincidence, or perhaps the result of receiving Gilliman's messages without being able to reply. More likely, thought Rabute, the lion had simply wanted to keep the manner and time of his arrival as secret as possible. Perhaps for good reason, but perhaps not. The Stormbird touched down 200 meters away, settling perfectly onto the designated landing space of the apron. A brief flurry of the engine sent a blast of air washing across the Primarch. A flourish, even now, to remind any onlooker that a Lord of Lords had arrived. Watching the ramp descend, Gilliman confessed inwardly that it was not the lion that was responsible for his tension. The Primarch of the Ultramarines had made a mistake. A very bad mistake. Admitting such to his brother would be difficult, made all the more so because Gilliman knew the lion would not care for any explanation. He would have to do that which he was loath to do. Trust the lion would not seek to make personal gain out of a shared disaster. The Lord of Caliban descended alone. Long, quick strides brought him closer to Gilliman every second. The Lord Warden considered his first words, weighing each carefully in his thoughts, knowing that the lion's attitude would be shaped in those opening seconds of communication. "What has happened?" the lion demanded before he had reached Gilliman. The rehearsed words, carefully considered sentiments and reasoning fled like startled birds before the unchained anger of his brother. In 3 words, Gilliman's failure was writ large, the lion becoming the embodiment of the Primarch's self-judgment. Gilliman hung his head, unable to force out the words. Suddenly, they seemed to be trite, just so many platitudes. "Sotha, why has the warp beacon fallen dark?"
"The Night Lords attacked. We were able to prevent the destruction of the beacon, but it can no longer function as fully as it once did."
"The Night Lords? Then Kurz was at Sotha." Gilliman hesitated, knowing that the truth was even worse than his brother thought.
"Only his legion. Kurz was here all along. He never left Macrag."
The lion was immobile, rendered as a statue for several moments as he absorbed this information. A flicker of the eyelids betrayed an internal dialogue that Gilliman could only guess at. When he spoke, the lion's voice was flat, devoid of feeling. Stunned, Gilliman was forced to admit.
"Never left Macrag."
Another twitch, the slightest shake of the head, frozen like a cogitator encountering a terrible paradox in its program code. A widening of the eyes as reality asserted itself, implications springing into life like water streaming through the cracks in a weakened dam.
"Our brother Emperor,"
the lion became animated, almost grabbing Gilliman by the shoulder.
"Has anything happened to Sanguinius?"
"He lives," Gilliman assured him. "He is unharmed. But something happened."
"I will show you."
It was easier that way. Let the evidence speak, the admission becoming tacit. Share the blame.
"Come with me, brother."
An armored grav carrier took them over the buildings of Macragge Civitas, avoiding the triumphal way of the Avenue of Heroes, away from the eyes of the populace. The lion glowered out of the firing slots at the city sliding past, his silence a deafening accusation in itself.
"How progresses the war against the dregs of Lorgar and Angron?"
It was a cowardly question, voiced to turn the attention of both to another matter. Gilliman hated himself for asking, but did not regret it.
"Dregs, as you say," the lion said bitterly. "Enough spite to kill millions, but no threat to the Imperium. The true criminals have escaped retribution for the moment."
The silence returned, even more pregnant than before. Gilliman had chosen to come alone, to leave Yutun and Gorod and his other counselors. Their absence was probably for the best. The lion would feel outnumbered and become more defensive. Only Fafnir Bloodbroder and his space wolves insisted on following, once again referring to their orders from Malkador the Sigilite to monitor and guard Lord Gilliman. As a compromise, considering Fafnir had also felt the need to duel with the lion on their last encounter, the watch pack were presently restricted to another grav carrier. Gilliman leaned across the troop compartment and activated the voxlink to the driver.
"Take us over the portico," he said.
He stood up and opened the entryway. Wind whistled past the hatch as the grav carrier descended towards the fortress of Hera. The lion stood at his shoulder, gazing past. For a moment, a buttress obscured the view, but then the transport rounded one of the outer towers and the remains of the antechamber were revealed. Servitors and blade-proud rhinos worked at the rubble left by the collapse of the grand portico, overseen by tech marines in blue and red. Shattered columns and broken masonry had been scattered, broken like a child's model. The scorch marks of an intense fire clearly marked the windows of the surrounding galleries. Walls and towers close at hand were pocked by shrapnel and debris impacts.
"There are still the bodies of two sanguinary guard buried there," Gilliman said softly, shaking his head. "We recovered the rest and have taken them to the Chapel of Memorial."
The lion said nothing as he stared down at the ruin.
"Another counter-strategy by Kurz," Gilliman said with a sigh. "The antechamber was rigged with explosives linked to a terminus sensor in the armor of Commander Ascalon. In the event of attack breaking through, the failsafe would destroy the chamber and anyone within, and seal the throne room. Kurz was able to bypass the security measures and lured the guards into their own booby trap." "Where is the Emperor?"
The lion turned away, his expression grim.
"Take me to him, now."
Gilliman excused his brother's tone, though on other occasions he would not take so kindly to being commanded in such an imperious manner.
"Of course. Sanguinius is holding state from the Praetorium since the attack."
Gilliman closed the hatch and joined his brother.
"Truth be told, he has spent most of the time by himself. He sees a few petitioners each day. I pass him daily reports, but he responds little. He is very concerned by the loss of Sotha's extra capabilities."
"The empathic teleportation? It was unreliable even before."
"And temporarily losing the beacon must have taken a toll," Gilliman added.
He decided to be diplomatic.
"Ships, of course, delayed. Some perhaps lost for good. Sanguinius tasked me with recalling you to Macragge, but I assume you did not receive my communiques. It is a relief that you made it here at all. And so swiftly, brother, Your navigators must be the best in the Imperium.
The lion shifted in discomfort at this line of discussion and looked away.
We were fortunate.
Gilliman left it at that, but there was clearly more to be said. Perhaps the lion had already been returning to McCrag when the disaster had happened. Gilliman forced himself to stop speculating. Events had proceeded with enough uncertainty already. There was no point adding to his woes with pointless second-guessing of his brother's intentions. The carrier deposited them on a lawn close to the outer gates of the western chambers of the Fortress of Hera. Squads of ultramarines patrolled the gardens and corridors, parting for the new arrivals. A few dozen meters behind, the Space Wolf shadowed them, sensible enough not to intrude upon the business of the Primarchs. Even so, Gilliman could sense them, another irritation he would dearly love to dispense with. They located Sanguinius by the presence of his guards. Four of them had survived the attack, their golden armor scorched and broken in places. Ascalon stood with them, his left arm missing from above the elbow. He stepped forward, his one hand moving to the blade sheathed at his waist.
You could not stop a Primarch with both arms, as I recall, the lion snarled.
He strode up to Ascalon, barely giving the commander of the Sanguinary Guard a glance, his attention fixed on the unassuming double doors they protected.
Do you think to stop me now with only one?
Gilliman raised a hand to halt any retort by the Blood Angel's warrior.
We require immediate audience, Commander, he said.
He dropped his voice. How is he?
Of course, Lord Warden, Ascalon replied with a bow, carefully directed towards Gilliman alone. Lord Sanguinius has been in reflection for the last 3 hours. He awaits your company.